See what Pinto does for Dick Bramer? When he knows Dick Bramer's going to be on the program, he gives a little Chicago bumper music. That's not bad, Dick.
Hey, they're performing on the Grammys on Sunday night. So for the first time in a long time, I'll be watching the Grammys.
Oh, well, congratulations. I couldn't tell you when the Grammys are or anything else. They just don't matter to me. Folks, welcome to the second hour of the Mike McFeely Show on KFGO. Broadcast today from Twins Fest at Target Field. And again, thank you to our locally owned Stop and Go food stores for sponsoring my trip down to the Twin Cities today. The question is whether I'm going to be able to get back tomorrow or anytime soon to jump on my bus to go up to Lake of the Woods to do my Stop and Go KFGO fishing trip to Ballard's Resort. But that's my problem and nobody else's. The voice you heard, of course, was that a very familiar one. Dick Bramer, Twins broadcast voice on Fox Sports North, and of course, most importantly, a regular guest on the Mike McFeely Show during the baseball season.
Hello. We're breaking new ground here. Normally, we do this over the phone. I think this is the first time we've actually done this face-to-face.
I would like to do it more face-to-face, because that means I'd be in Minneapolis and Fort Myers and other places more often to do this. So,
and about to watch a ball game.
Yeah, absolutely. That's probably the most important. How's your winter going, by the way? Are you catching any walleyes? Most important question.
Yeah, a few. Not enough, of course, but I've gotten a few walleyes. I shot some pheasants. I got my deer, so it's been a good off season. But now it's time to get back to work.
And this is kind of the kickoff. The caravan, of course, is the kickoff to start talking about Hot Stove League and Twins baseball. But this has kind of become a cool event for me to get down to, because personally, it gets my juices going because I see the field, and in past years, I saw the Metrodome, and you just kind of start thinking, I know it's miserable outside right now, but gosh, it's not too far away.
Especially this year. I think Twins Fest is really going to stoke the baseball fires. At least that's the hope. It's, as I'm sure you've mentioned, in a different location. We're here at Target Field, not at the Metrodome. I don't think people would enjoy being there right now if they had held it there. So it'll be interesting to see how this works transitioning over to the new ballpark.
Speaking of the Metrodome, and one last farewell to the Metrodome, but I find it interesting that there's so much maudlin remembrance of the Metrodome and people Twittering and Facebooking and writing all these glowing reviews of the Metrodome. Maybe I'm getting old, Dick, but my memory, other than 87 and 91 and maybe 92 and some other, it just wasn't that great of a place to watch baseball, football, or anything else.
I think I've gone on the record on your radio show. I detested the place. I just thought it was awful for baseball, and I doubt there are too many people, if anybody, who spent more time there than I did number of hours spent there. But I think all the good times that we had there, and we had a lot of great times, but all the good times that we had there, whether you were watching a baseball game or a football game or a truck and tractor pull, we enjoyed it in spite of the facility rather than because of it. And so, no, there were no tears shed among the adults. Now, I should say this. Now, my kids, that's what they knew of Twins baseball. They have the same reference point for the Metrodome as I do for Met Stadium.
Well, and you know what's funny is our daughter Emma is 12, and she was at a few events, including the Twins game at the Metrodome, and she's been to some games here at Target Field. And she's a sports fan, thank goodness. I raised her the right way, and so did my wife, Michelle. But I said, well, the Metrodome is coming down. The roof came down in the Metrodome, and they're going to tear it down. And the first thing out of her mouth, not the second, the first thing, well, Dad, what's going to happen to the golden seat? And I went, oh, God, I love you, Emma. So the first memory for her of the Metrodome is the golden seat, and she knows all about Kirby Puckett in Game 6, and even though she had was long before born, you know.
And I believe the backstory to all of that is regarding the golden seat, the Twins pulled it out after the 1991 World Series. They have the original seat. And for those of you who don't know, we're talking about the seat where Kirby Puckett's infamous home run landed in Game 6. But the Twins have the original one. The replica seat is there, and I think the Vikings want to put it in their new football stadium
because she was wondering what was going to happen.
Yeah, I believe it will be in the new football stadium, but the actual seat that the gentleman was sitting in who caught the home run ball, the Twins have that tucked away.
Speaking of Target Field, let's talk about that for a second, because I had Dave St. Peter up right before we brought you in, Dick, and I asked Dave, I said, so does 95 losses year after year after year, has it started to weigh on the business side of things? Because the Target Field thing, people love it. We love coming down here from Fargo. Everybody loves Target Field. But at some point, you have to win some ball games, and you have to contend. So when does that point come when the Target Field, starts to wear off and people go, all right, win some games.
Yeah, I think we've already seen that, Mike. We saw it last year, you know, with the attendance figures. And frankly, there were tickets that were purchased but unused. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just not a fun product to watch. And Dave St. Peter knows it. Terry Ryan knows it. Fans know it. It's time for this team to get back to the business of winning ball games. And I think, you know, as I was saying on the caravan, I didn't have the caravan leg up to Fargo, but I had South Dakota and Iowa, and where what I told people was I honestly believe that this turnaround is right around the corner. I mean, you look at some of the best young minor league talent that's just right there, almost ready to, mm-hmm. to break through here, and I think really good times are waiting for Twins fans.
But then that leads to the next question, because you're talking about the Byron Buxtons, the Miguel Sanos, right. and those guys, and we all know that we're expecting huge things out of them when they get here, but when will they get here, and when will they produce? And will they produce, because the Twins had one of their golden children up last year, Aaron Hicks, to start the season, and that didn't work out so well. So is it going to be this year, next year? When's it going to be?
Behind the asterisk is what you just said. You won't know until they get here what they can do. But all the projections are, specifically now for Byron Buxton. I was down in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, a couple weeks ago for the On the Caravan, and that's where Byron spent the first half of the year last year. And people down there spoke so highly of him in terms of his production on the field relative to Mike Trout, who was there a few years ago. Okay, they're saying this guy is as good as Mike Trout. Now, Mike Trout's taken his game to the big league level, but also talking about what type of character Byron Buxton has. And it's not just on the field. We need that improvement, obviously, but people spoke very highly of Buxton and his character and how he got involved in the community. And by the way, as I was walking here, I was walking through the Skyway system, and I was I walked by Byron and his father, and I think they were heading shopping to buy some warmer clothes. So maybe he's planning on being here sooner than you think.
I hope so, because the Twins could use that, and I think fans could use that jolt of excitement. But the Twins, they have made some off-season moves. We all know about the signing of Phil Hughes. We all know about the signing of Ricky Nolasco. I had a chance to chat with Terry Ryan down in the Champions Club, and he'll be up here in a little bit to chat some more. But there is some hope, I think, this year, more than last year, because sure, Vance Worley, you know, great, you know, we love you guy, but it just didn't pan out for him.
No, and we don't know whether it's going to work out for Phil Hughes, Ricky Nolasco, you know, whether Mike Pelfrey will step things up. The Twins did not re-sign Mike Pelfrey to pitch like he did last year, so he's got something to prove too. So, you know, I think we talked about this over the last two summers, Mike. If you don't have starting pitching, competitive starting pitching, you really don't have a chance. And we didn't need to be reminded of that, but we were reminded of that. And so that's the hope. That was the focus. Once Ron Gardenhire and the coaching staff were retained, the focus was we've got to do something with the starting pitching. And even the most skeptical Twins fan, I think, would have to admit that, you know, the Twins allocated their dollars and their efforts in the right direction.
Could they be doing more things? And I'll ask Terry that when he comes on, but could there be more signings coming down the pike here?
I think there could be, because there are some, I don't think in the pitching department, and Terry I don't think would admit this, but I think I've watched how he operates. Now, you look at the rotation as it's constituted right now, okay? And you've got Nolasco, you've got Hughes, you have Correa, and you have Pelfrey, and you need a fifth starter, okay? It would be consistent with what Terry believes to leave one spot open for the likes of Diamond and DeDuno and Worley, and fill in the blank. Anybody, Kyle Gibson's another one, Alex Meyer. So I think that what Terry wants is to set up some competition, and he's done that in the rotation. I don't think they'll make any more moves in the pitching side. They potentially could from position players. There's some good players out there, good hitters out there, Kendrys Morales, Nelson Cruz, people like that. We'll have to wait and see.
Dick Bramer, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show this afternoon. Can you stick around for a few
Absolutely.
Minutes? You bet. Dick Bramer going to stick with us for one more segment. Kind of got that spring feeling today on the Mike McFeely Show here at Target Field. Although, and I was honest with Dave St. Peter when he was on earlier, for some reason I had it in my head, Dick Bramer, that when I showed up at the ballpark today and started walking through the concourse that it was going to be green grass. I don't know why I thought that, because it's the middle of January, but I thought for sure I was going to see green grass and everything else.
There's like a foot of snow out there at least, and I think in about a month they'll turn the heat up on the field, and it will green up rather quickly. So it'll be green here before too long.
Hey, speaking of which, upcoming season, everything else, it was announced today that you're going to have a new broadcast, a new old broadcast partner for some of the Twins games on TV. Jack Morris is going to be back in Minnesota doing his work this year.
Yes, and we're thrilled about that. Essentially, Jack's going to take the job that Ron Coomer vacated when Ron took the job with the Chicago Cubs. Ron's doing all the radio games for the Cubs, which is a great opportunity for him. Jack did radio, did the same job for the Toronto Blue Jays last year. And years ago, Jack did some TV work. I enjoyed working with him, and I'm really happy that he's going to be back in the Twins organization.
And as I told you off the air, he's going to be in Fargo, I think, on Monday for an American Legion baseball banquet. So it's perfect timing for that. And I know that he'll be a popular speaker at that banquet because he's Jack Morris, for goodness sakes.
I'm just imagining a little added pressure for the Twins starting pitchers. Bert's going to be there. He liked to complete games. Bert's going to be there for 100 games, and then when he's replaced by Jack Morris, no decrease in the tenacity or determination to finish what you started. So we'll have maybe more complete games up in the booth than we'll have on the field.
And I enjoy that when Bert does that, when he kind of gets on the starters for not going deep in the games. But is that realistic, and is that fair in today's game? Because it's a whole different game than when Blylevin and Morris were pitching.
No, and back when Bert started pitching, you have to remember there was a four-man rotation, not a five-man rotation.
Yep.
Everybody's on a pitch count. What's happened, or the real reason, of course, behind it is these pitchers are making a lot more money, and everybody's more careful with them than they used to be. But it'll be nice to have Jack's perspective in the booth, and we're looking forward to it.
Joe Mauer, that's the big off-season story everybody's asking Ron Gardenhire about today at the media luncheon, and they were asking Terry Ryan about it, and Terry made some statements to us. Joe's moving to first base, and you know the word from everybody, of course, is it's a great move. We're going to have him in the lineup for 150 games or more. What's your perspective on it?
Well, and I'll take it a step further. This guy is one of the best athletes this region has ever produced. Could have played Division I football as a quarterback, was an All-State basketball player as a point guard, obviously number one draft pick as a catcher. He's a great athlete. I think he will become, very quickly, one of the best defensive first baseman in the American League. I do. Well, there isn't anything he can't do.
Well,
now, the one thing, though, he told me, Mike, which I thought was interesting, when they made the announcement he was going to move to first base, they set up an extended interview that I did on TV with Joe. And he brought up an interesting point, and I hadn't really thought about it. He's always been in the middle of things athletically. Mm-hmm. A catcher, where you're looking at the whole field, you're calling the game, you're in essence a quarterback of the baseball team. He was a quarterback of the football team. He was the point guard on his basketball team. So he's used to being in the middle of things. This is going to be different for him to be out on the relative periphery of what's happening on a baseball field.
Well, he's always been the best athlete, no matter where he's been. He's always been that. And that's where, like you and I in high school, we played point guard, we played quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but the story I tell about my high school days, when I was a forward, my high school coach, whenever I touched the ball, he said, get it to a guard. Then he switched me to a guard, and he said, get it to a forward. So
yeah, I know that feeling quite well at Alexandria High School, as a matter of fact. Does this team have enough offense? I mean, you know, we're talking all about the pitching. We're talking all about Joe Mauer. Part of the problem last year, as you know better than anybody else, was they didn't hit the ball either.
They'll need Josh Willingham to hit closer to 35 home runs than 15 or whatever he hit last year. They'll need somebody. Well, I hate to put too much pressure on the young man, but they'll need Aaron Hicks to step up and hopefully take over the leadoff spot. You asked the question a couple of minutes ago about when Twins fans should expect to see Miguel Sano and Byron Buxton. I will simply tell you that when I was on the caravan a couple of weeks ago with Paul Molitor, he was asked that question, and Paul said on at least three different occasions, Paul would not be surprised to see Buxton make his debut some point in 2014.
Well, I think St. Peter said that in Fargo, too,
right.
as well. Yep.
Right. And then Terry said that, well, Sano's probably ahead of Buxton because he's a year mm-hmm. advanced and all that. So there's potentially the possibility for both those guys to make their debuts this year. But I think in Buxton's case, getting back to Hicks, for Buxton to make his debut, something really good and really bad has to happen. Buxton has to dominate Double A at least, and Hicks will have had to have really struggled again.
And what's the word on Aaron in the offseason? Have you heard what he's been up to, what he's been doing? Because that was one of the bigger disappointments last year for the
right.
Twins and for Twins fans and for me and everything else was he tore up spring training. He looked like a zillion dollars down at Fort Myers. And from day one during the regular season, it just wasn't right. You could just see he just wasn't ready to be that guy in center field or at the plate.
Well, I know the Twins recommended to him that he play winter ball, and he declined that invitation, which I think the Twins were fine with. They just wanted him to play some more, and he wanted to instead shut things down. Spent a little time with Rod Carew the last few days, and Rod actually worked with Aaron in California long before he showed up in spring training. So they've had a relationship together over the last several years, and Rod has shall we say, given Aaron a big-time pep talk.
Okay.
nicely, we'll say he's encouraged him to come to camp.
I'm sure he has.
With a little bit better frame of mind.
Very quickly, your batting average in Twins fantasy camp. Oh,
Fort this
Myers
year's not the year to ask.
Well,
I have to ask you.
No, well, okay, what was it last year and what was it this year?
I didn't hit well in the fantasy camp. It was starting on January 4th. I didn't pitch better. Very well either. Still, I had a great time. I will tell you this, though, that we were terribly coached. We were awful. We had a terrible draft. We were very poorly coached by Mickey Hatcher and Tim Lodge. And we just had an absolute
it's
blast.
It's all their fault.
It's their fault, not mine.
Mr. Bramer, thank you. Hope we can together this summer and do our thing
again. I sure do, too, Mike.
You bet. Dick Bramer of Fox Sports North and a regular guest on the Mike McFeely Show.